Well, again, as always, it is great to be together to worship and praise our God. A day that we get to worship in unity. Together, a day when we profess our faith to God and honor Him in all that we do. We're now in our fourth week into our study of the book of Ephesians as we look to make this congregation what Christ intended the church to be. And we've learned over the several weeks that there are characteristics of a healthy church, and it should be our resolution to take on these characteristics. And this week we look at how to maintain unity within the body of Christ, both for our local congregation and for the Catholic or the universal body of Christ. You know, God has long directed our relationships with other people. The most recognized laws of God are the Ten Commandments. And if we take a look at them, we see the first four commandments have to do with what? We see that we should have no other gods, that we should make no idols, that we should not take the Lord's name in vain, and that we should keep the Sabbath day. See, all of these deal with our relationship with God. So the first four of the commandments are about relating to God. That means the next six deal with our relationship to others. Honoring our fathers and mothers, not murdering, committing adultery, stealing, or lying, or coveting. See, even Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments and all of the laws of the prophets and said they fall into two categories. First, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And that was about our relationship with God. And then he said in verse 39 about the people, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. God himself thinks it's important to define how we relate to each other, and his son thinks it's important to define how we relate to each other. In fact, the way we treat each other is one of the defining characteristics of being his disciple. From John 13, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If fellow Christians cannot love one another, how are we supposed to bring people to faith in Christ? It is sad that in the history of the church, Christians have used the Bible to justify hate. Even in our own country, we still have Christians that spread hate. There are people hateful and angry over many issues. I see people hateful and angry over national political issues. But I've also seen people hateful and angry over issues even within these walls. There are people not sitting here today in this congregation because of bitterness with fellow members or their pastor. You see, we need to be people of love. And that starts with each other. We need to be people who are together in unity. And in his writings, Paul expounds on how we should relate. And from our scripture reading earlier, Ephesians 4, 1 through 14, Paul gives defining characteristics to the body of believers. The first characteristic, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Isn't patience with one another probably one of the hardest things to do? We did a study one time, The Purpose-Driven Life. Did anybody read that book? Well, in that book, in the beginning, because it was a group study, and he said in the group study, there's always one EGR. That stood for extra grace required. In every group, there is one EGR, someone who requires extra grace. And the footnote to that was, if you don't know who the EGR is in your group, you're the EGR. So think about your group of friends. And I'm not saying anything about Sunday class. We all know it's Danny. And then he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity. It means no matter what happens, we need to make an effort to keep the body together. We need to find a way to resolve differences before they become quarrels. And if they become quarrels, we need to offer each other the bond of peace and quickly reconcile with one another. When things go wrong, because things will go wrong, we all make mistakes. I'm guilty. We see things or don't see things. We say things we don't mean. And before we know it, people are upset. And we need to find a way to resolve that quickly and become unified together. Because if we allow quarrels to exist, if we allow people to not be unified together, then the church quickly separates and it dissolves. And you can't stand strong if you're not glued together. And he goes on to say, we need to equip people for works of service. And perhaps that's something we need to do more of, because we have one Sunday school class with four people. How are you being equipped? You see, we're supposed to be equipped for works of service. We have a job to teach each other and prepare one another to be missionaries, to be servants. And I bet you've never thought of yourself as a missionary or a servant, but as Christians, we all have a mission of making disciples and serving others. Jesus said we all need to be foot washers. We all are supposed to bring the good news of the gospel to our neighbors, to our families. And we become equipped by worshiping together, praying together, studying God's word together. We need to be equipped. And Paul says we need to build up the body of Christ. See, everything we should do should build each other up. Gossip kills a church. We should never do anything that tears others down. We should always use our best words, our words of encouragement. Words lift each other up. But all too often, we're critical. All too often, we are cynical. All too often we say, you know, that one person. Instead of being people who offer grace, mercy, and understanding. And then the next characteristic that he says, that we all need to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. This is probably one of the hardest things, because we all have different personal beliefs. But see, this is where we need to separate our personal beliefs and we need to start to rely on what God's word says. The foundation of our beliefs need to be built on God's word and not what we want to believe. And as we face many things coming up in the United Methodist Church, we're going to be faced with what God's word says, what the world says, and what you say. But if we want unity in our church, it can't be what a collection of individuals wants. We have to base it on what God says. And it says we need to become mature. Now, I'm not going to say anything, but you can probably look to your left or right and see some very mature-looking people. But that's not the maturity that we're talking about here. You see, many people, even though they may have been in the church their whole life, are still living as spiritual infants. Well, they know the story about Jesus and that Jesus died on the cross and Jesus rose again. hallelujah, I'm saved, good job. But that's where their faith stops. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know God. How many Bible verses can you quote off the top of your head besides John 3:16? Do you know God's word? How many of the 66 books could you name? How many authors of the Bible can you name? How many of the prophets can you name? Or are you living on the children's Bible story? Or are you delving into God's word? Are you becoming spiritually mature? Do you understand God? Is your wisdom and understanding growing? You see, we become more mature by studying God's word and putting into practice his teachings. Because you see, when we live as spiritual infants, then false teachings are allowed into our church. And we start to believe the false teachings and we allow people to lead us astray. And when we fall for the ways of the world and fall for these false teachers, then we are actually harming people and leading them away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are actually leading people on a path away from heaven. And if we're leading them on a path away from heaven, there's only other one path for them to go. And that's literally the way to hell. False teachings lead people to hell. And we have to remember that. And we can't stand up for what we believe if all we want to know is the simple stuff. Show up and sing a few hymns and go home happy. It doesn't work that way. We have to become spiritually mature. We have to grow in what we're doing. And I can tell you for sure, and I keep harping on this, but the truth is, in that Sunday school room from about 9 o'clock-ish, and that's why we're late coming in here, because we're having spiritually mature, growing conversations. Conversations about the real world, the spiritual world, and the coming of Jesus Christ again. And then he goes on to say that we need to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I know for me personally, this is something that I fight all the time. Because I fall and have to get back up. I sin and I have to ask for repentance. And being a Christian is so much more than just being a dutiful Christian. See, when we devote ourselves to prayer, to worship, to holy living, we can discover the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that can elevate our spiritual awareness and truly transform us to become more like Christ. See, we're not supposed to stay spiritual infants. We're supposed to grow up and become more like Christ. We're supposed to be the image, the reflection of who Jesus Christ is, of his love, his grace, his mercy, his service. And then Paul goes on to say, we need to be speaking the truth in love. See, we're not called to be a holy recluse. We're not supposed to be just cut off from the world. We are called to speak God's word and to do it with God's love. We're supposed to be out there not condemning people. We're supposed to be out there sharing God's love, sharing God's truth in such a way that it leads them to Jesus Christ. And not pushes them away. And then Paul writes, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Notice it says every supporting ligament. All of us together are the body of Christ. We all have a different role. And each of us are supposed to do its work. Ask Ethan how his life is with one bad finger, right? It was kind of fun getting dressed this morning, wasn't it? As our bodies age, we learn very quickly what one knee will do, what one joint will do, right? And if one thing's not working, if you have one bad tooth, does that not make for a bad day? So think about it in the body of Christ. If we don't have everybody working together, can we function the way a church should function?
all of us, everyone, needs to be doing their part for God in the church. You need to discover your gifts, your calling, your service, and do your part. I forget the name of it, but in your ears, the smallest bone in your entire body is inside your ear. But you know, if you did not have that smallest, tiniest little bone, you couldn't hear? Everybody in the church is important. There's no unimportant person. And the church is dragging. The church is being left behind. Not just this church, but all churches. Because church members are no longer doing their job. They're no longer supporting it. They're no longer being a part of it. I mean, it used to be churches were full and active. And you had women's groups and men's groups. And every Sunday school room in this hallway was filled, wasn't it? And we have to ask ourselves, why did that change? What are we not doing that our parents were doing? What is our culture not doing that it was doing? We have to ask ourselves, why is the body not working like it's supposed to? These are the ideal characteristics of a unified body. So ask ourselves, why are congregations all across the country having problems being successful? Because I guarantee if you write down the story of Zion, you can go to 100 other churches and hear the exact same story. We remember when there was 150 kids there for VBS. We remember when there were baptisms every other Sunday. We remember when there was 20 kids in confirmation. And we remember, and we remember, and we remember. And maybe because so often we end up looking more like hypocrites than a unified body. What is the one thing that gets us into trouble again and again? If you said it's our mouth or tongue, you'd be correct. In James chapter 3, it says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." Just a few minutes ago, we sung a fun hymn, wasn't it? Don't you like that hymn, "When We All Get to Heaven," right? We get up and we sing and we're excited and it's a great song. Yeah, when we all get to heaven. And then we go home and turn on the news and... right? We turn around and curse our politicians. We curse our neighbor for parking on our grass or blowing his clippings on us. We get upset over crazy things. We come here and praise God. We put on our smiles. We shake hands and we love each other. And then we go home and people go, "You're a people of faith? With an hour or so a Sunday?" See, as we begin to have tough discussions about our faith and what we want to believe, we need to be careful about how and what we say about each other. Because when we get into really tough conversations, you're going to find out that maybe that person you've been sitting next to for years believes something a little differently than you. That maybe they've had a different experience than you. We need to be respectful and loving to everyone. See, we have to be careful that we don't slander or spread gossip, that we don't talk about other people. If we want to get better at things, we need to learn to be uplifting. We need to stop saying things that don't benefit other people. Because nothing drives people away from the church faster than other Christians. Now, When I didn't start going to church, probably I was about 2 or 3 years old. My mom started taking me. My dad never went. We would go every Sunday morning, and my dad, as a side business, mowed grass and did lawn and gardens and stuff like that. So Sunday mornings for him, the house was quiet and empty. So he would be out in the garage. He would be sharpening blades. He would be checking oil. He'd be doing maintenance. He'd be doing all the things that he wanted to do, because back then on Sundays, you didn't go out and mow other people's grass. So he did his maintenance on that day. Well, finally, my dad went to church and he found faith and started coming with us. So from about the age of 11 till about the age of 19, my dad was in church and he served the church and he worked at the church. And then my mom and dad went through a divorce. And a group of people in the church rallied around my mom and said, "You poor thing, you have a horrible husband." And my dad was ostracized out of the church. Not one person called him. Not one person asked for his side of the story. Not one person visited him in that period of his divorce. The church turned his back on him. And my dad, for the rest of his life, till he passed away a few years ago, only set foot in a church on two occasions that I know of. And one of them was my wedding. At the time he died, I'd been pastoring for over 12 years, and he had seen one of my services. And that was only because my sister was visiting from Florida and made him go. That's got to make you think. Now think about where you're sitting and who's not here in this church. There are some people that used to sit here every Sunday. There's some people that used to sit back there every Sunday. Now, I understand there's some people who are not here any longer because of health, and they just can't come. And I understand COVID changed a lot for some people. But there are people who are not here for a reason. And we have to ask ourselves why. Now, sometimes there's nothing we can do to change it, but how many of us have reached out and said, "Hey, haven't seen you in a long time. We'd love to have you back. Hey, I'm sorry if you were hurt by the church. I'm sorry that we're imperfect. Can you give us another chance? We want you back. We want you to love. We want you to worship. We want you here." Because a church is full of imperfect people. You have an imperfect pastor. I've made mistakes. And for me, it's hurtful because it's my job to love you. It's my job to uplift you, and there's times that I've missed it. And I can tell you, in the last 2 weeks, I have called nobody except for Kay, but I didn't get a hold of her because I've been so busy with my life and my stuff and my school and my everything. Some days, some weeks, it's hard. We're not perfect people. We don't live ideal lives. But I know some of you have a lot more time on your hands than I do. And I can tell you right now, and I didn't put it in the joy, I got a card this week. I got a card from Joan. And Joan said, "Thank you for all the things you do." When was the last time you sent a thank you card for someone for the things that they do? When was the last time you reached out and loved somebody, pulled somebody back into the congregation? How are you reaching out to people? How are you lifting each other up? And I don't want this whole sermon series to be a downer. And some of these messages may seem like they're coming hard, but we have to face a reality here. The reality of our denomination splitting, the reality of a shrinking society, a shrinking congregation, a shrinking church. I mean, Donna and Christian joined our church and everybody said, "It's great to have young people here." And they go, "Young people?" Say, look over their shoulders. Very young. But why don't we have more new people? Why don't we have children and grandchildren? We have to ask ourselves real questions about our faith. And if I didn't make you question real questions about your faith, then I'm not doing my job as your pastor. We can gather and we could play a fun little beach volleyball game every Sunday and leave here smiling, thinking, wow, that was a great time and everybody was happy. But did we change anybody? Did the Holy Spirit wrestle with you? Did you leave here changed or thinking differently about your faith? Because when we look at our lost world, we should be brokenhearted. We shouldn't be angry. We shouldn't be angry people. We should be brokenhearted people. It should break our heart, the hard division over the Supreme Court rulings. It should break our heart, not make us angry. And when we see 10 or 15 whatever people got shot up in front of a shopping center, it shouldn't make us angry. It should break our heart. And think about that. How many people told those people about the good news of Jesus Christ? Their life is gone. Gone. But that's the reality we live in. And we as a church need to come together and make that turn. Make that turn. And we need to grab a hold of God's word and the Holy Spirit and take it and move in a way that we see growth in each other and in this community like we've never seen in dozens and dozens of years. And that can happen. And I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it. I believe in a God big enough to do it. I believe in a Holy Spirit powerful enough to do it. And if you want to take a check off because, well, I'm too old, I'm sorry, you're not. If you want to take a check off because you say, well, that's not really me. No, it's everybody's job. It's all of us to come together as the body, every ligament, every tendon, every joint, every bone, every organ, everything together. And when we work together, unified in Jesus Christ, we can do great and powerful things. So let us hear these words again. From Ephesians 4, let us keep the unity so that speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are asked to wrestle with many difficult and tough things in our lives. And Lord, so many times we are so consumed with the world, we have left you behind. Lord, let us wrestle with our faith first. Let us refocus and reorganize and redirect ourselves to you. Let us rediscover your truths for our lives. Lord, let us support each other in unity. Lord, let us reach out to those who were once part of our body and bring them back in. And Lord, through it all, let us live lives of love and servitude in such a way that people see our faith, they see your love, and they hear your truth. Lord, let us not be fearful to stand for what you have taught. Let us not be fearful to stand for your holy scripture. Lord, make us a church that is unified through your vision, through your will, through your Son, and through your Spirit. This we pray. Amen. I love that last verse. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. You see, this should be the best part of your week. When you come back together as the body of Christ, as the believers who love and worship God together, this should be your extreme point of joy. Today we have gathered in the presence of God. Today we have told about the great news of Jesus Christ. And we have shared about the power of the Holy Spirit.
and then how we are joined together by all of it as the body of Christ. And when we leave here, we should say, darn, can't wait till next week. Can't wait to get back together. And we leave here with joy to go and serve. And maybe next week bring somebody back. Think about somebody old or somebody new that needs to be here. Let us leave now as the body of Christ, joined together by His word and His power. Let us leave here always knowing that we are joined together through faith, and that makes us stronger each and every day. Let us go as God's people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.